Take your Bibles, if you would, please, this evening. Open up to Acts chapter number 28 in the Word of God tonight. Acts chapter number 28 in the Word of God this evening. And for those of you who are visiting with us, we're now in part 8 of this series entitled A Turbulent Journey. This is part 8 of this series, but don't get into a panic thinking, well, I'm not going to know what's going on. There's much application that we can grow from and learn here in this passage of Scripture this evening. And so as you find your place here, we're going to be in verse number 7 of chapter 28 of the book of Acts. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word this evening? Over the last several weeks now, on Wednesday nights, as we've been looking at this passage of Scripture, really beginning the previous chapter and working our way through verse by verse, we have seen through this journey, number one, we began to look at Paul's friends, and then we saw Paul's warning that he gave to those that were on the ship with him. They did not heed the warning, and so we begin to study out Paul's wreck. And from that wreck, we saw that Paul gave a blueprint of trusting in God. And tonight, what I want us to concentrate on is number 5 here in this series, is Paul's gifts. Number 5, Paul's gifts. And this evening, we're going to begin right here in verse number 7 in the Word of God, chapter 28 of the book of Acts, verse number 7. The Bible says this: "In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously." This evening, we want to once again look at this turbulent journey and look at Paul's gifts that he was given from God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, I'm so thankful that we can gather tonight. And Lord, I know this evening we've taken some time to go through the finances. And just show what you're doing and just give you all the honor, the glory, and praise. But I feel like at times, Father, in these moments, it's not a gift of mine to slow down. And Lord, when I look at the clock, you know me, Savior. I'm going to get in a hurry. And so, Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd allow us to take a deep breath and get through what you would have us to get through tonight. Lord, if we have not prayed already this evening, God, give me something, then, Lord, let us pray that right now. Even as this pastor is praying, Lord, pray a personal prayer. God, I need you. Give me something this evening. Father, I ask, Lord, that you would renew our marriages, that, Father, you would rejuvenate us in the Word, Father, that we'd want to raise grandkids and kids in honor and glory for you. Father, midway through this week, there's no doubt we need you. I need you, Father. I admit it this evening. Savior, give me the words that I need to say and preach and to teach this evening. We love you, Savior. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As Paul began to travel through this journey, there is no doubt that Paul began to understand the gifts that God had given to him. We begin to look at and lay a foundation last week that isn't it amazing in our kids' life how oftentimes we want them to learn from the successes and or the failures that they have in life. I gave you an illustration of little Rose on a bike and how she's nervous and how a little bit messed up and I wanted her to learn from it and I learned from it. And we do this with kids when they touch something that is hot and we want them to learn, you don't touch that, it's hot, or they get in trouble at school and this is what happens when you have a bad attitude or when you disobey. And we use all these different scenarios in life to grow them. But I believe, as our teenagers and our young kids are out of the auditorium tonight, that this message isn't necessarily for them. I believe it's for us this evening. You see, I feel like we get to this place oftentimes in life that we want them to learn and we want them to grow, but then we kind of feel as adults, well, we've almost arrived. You know, we've been to church how many times? 3 times a week for the past 4 years or past 40 years or maybe for some 60 years. We've been in church services many, many oftentimes, and we get to this place where we come in even on a Wednesday night. And it's amazing that, and then we've rushed from work or we've come in, or maybe you're retired and you ate supper and you got in the car you came and we got ready, didn't we? And we put on a suit coat, or ladies, you fixed your hair, and we got on our shoes and we look decent this evening and ready to serve God. But isn't it incredible that in the day and age we live, we will walk in those back doors, we'll come in, we'll sit down, and we have not spoken to God at all. We haven't asked Him to fill our heart. We haven't asked Him to help us to learn something. We haven't looked at the day that we just lived and asked God to teach us something through it. It's really fascinating that as adults, and especially as Christians, we almost get to this place like, well, we're good. Oh, we've made it. We've arrived. But what I love about Paul is that Paul continues to learn, even though this is towards the end of his ministry, even though this is the last of his trips that he's going to take, God is still realizing that God is working in his life. And we see that this evening through these particular gifts that God has bestowed or given to Paul on his journey. As we exegete the Word of God, we see this evening that those are absolutely applicable to the life that you and I live. We see Paul's gifts, these gifts from God, as he traveled on this hard journey, God is helping him along the way. The first gift that God gives him, number one, is this: God gives him or gave him power. God gives power. Look at verse number 7 here, this passage of Scripture with me, and look what it says. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. The governor gets involved here and shows kindness to these men that are traveling. And now they're stuck, remember, on this island because their ship is totally obliterated. Now they're here. And the Bible says in verse number 8, and it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him. Look at the last three words here. And healed him. He healed him. This is a big deal in this day. It's a big deal on this island. But there's several things that you and I begin to gain from this one verse this past week. Several things to note here is, first of all, Paul trusted God and jumped into action. Remember, it was Luke was the doctor. It should have been Luke that maybe should have stepped up to the plate and could have healed him. But what you and I begin to apply to our lives is that you and I ought to jump in where God wants you to, even if there are people that are more qualified. Understand, listen now very carefully. And I got to move quickly, but I just feel like let's pause here for a moment. Listen, that means this, that we need everyone in this battle. It was just yesterday. Coach Schoenberg, that I preached in chapel and here, and it was a very different congregation, Pastor. I mean, the chapel, our seniors weren't in here, but it was 6th to 11th grade, and this place was packed with young people. And I went to 2 Samuel chapter number 22 and began to talk about Abishai, and Abishai stepped up to the plate and killed one of the sons of the giant, Ishbi-Benob, who thought to have slain David in his old age, but he did not. Abishai stepped to the plate and killed him. And in that passage of Scripture, it's amazing that there are four sons of the giant. And who killed them, watch very carefully, was Elhanan, and we had Abishai, and we had Jonathan, and these men who stepped up to the plate. Now listen very carefully. And what I begin to portray to these young people is this, that it was not David, who at that age, or at that time was about 65 years of age, it wasn't David that killed the giants, it was the next generation. And I begin to try to encourage or compel them that it's their time to step up to the plate. That there are those, even in this room, Pastor, I mean, how many men do we have in here? And some of you that were here long before we even had the name Crosspoint. That there is a generation that's getting older, and there's a generation that's been on the job for a long time. And it's time for even the young kids at Crosspoint Baptist Church to step up to the plate. Now, listen very carefully. Does that mean that you are not qualified and there are more qualified? Absolutely not. Even as I was in there and was teaching them, and it was early in the morning, so it was kind of hard to keep their attention. I mean, I was trying everything. I even stood on a pew up here trying to get their attention. But understand this, a seventh grader is not going to be able to step up to the plate, probably like you are sitting in this congregation. They're not there. They're not the ones that are giving and put the number up there on the board that we saw tonight. They don't know how to pray for a parking lot. God, give us a parking lot. Maybe it might be by faith, but understand this. they are willing. And I talked to two who came down to my office afterwards. Didn't ask them to come. They just came down and said, Pastor, I just want to pray for you. I don't know what God's doing in my life, but I want to step up to the plate. Now, let me say this. That ought to be the heart of every adult sitting in here this evening. Somebody help me out with an amen. Step up to the plate. See the need, take the lead. Is Paige and Jordan, are they here tonight? Is Paige and Jordan here? Are they here this evening? Or is Ray J? Maybe they're not. Oh, they are here. Paige, Jordan, do y'all mind standing up just real quick? I want everybody to look back here. I want to embarrass them for just a moment. I'm not going to embarrass them, but here's Paige and here's Jordan. Now, we're praying for them this evening. Now, just listen. They don't know I'm going to do this, but hey, go with it, girls. Listen very carefully. Do you understand that they are about to embark on a missions trip to Africa? We're not talking about Louisiana. We're not talking about going to the Bible Belt in North Carolina or Florida. They're not heading over to Colorado to put a roof on a building. Excuse me, friend. This is like, and I'm not being spooky or scary, this is kind of like every parent's worst nightmare right now. The pandemic is not over. Airlines is still crazy out there. Africa is not exactly the most safest place. And their parents are sitting there this evening, they're shaking their head like, yeah, we know. We tried to talk them out of it. But can I tell you this? Here's two girls, and there's probably men and women in this room that are more suited to go. Carrie has spent many a month overseas, the Philippines and Scotland. I myself have spent many a days, many a months in Laos and Thailand and Vietnam and Cuba and the Philippines. Can I just say this? Paige and Jordan, they've never been to that part of the country, that part of the globe ever, ever. But here's two girls who saw missionaries needing help, and they said, here am I, Lord, send me. Amen. Amen. Well, can we learn from that? Excuse me, friend. I want that to be my heart. Amen. That ought to be our heart this evening. And this is not a commercial, but let me just make it a commercial. They're trying to raise $3,000 each. Well, what are they going to use $3,000 for? I'm here to tell you, plane tickets are very expensive. They've got to be able to stay. They got to have food. This is not going over there and kumbaya, let's get around a campfire and see what we can learn and go out in the jungle. Are they going to have some fun? Yes, but I'm here to tell you, they are going to see souls saved. They are going to see great things done for God. It is my prayer and Carrie's prayer that girls, you come back and light a fire in our college class and light a fire in our youth group. Somebody say amen tonight. Light a fire in this auditorium this evening. And friend, I'm here to tell you, we can get behind a lot of things and we can pay a lot of money to kill dandelions. But if we're going to kill dandelions for our kids to go out there and kick a soccer ball around, would to God we'd get behind somebody that's trying to go to a foreign field and do something for God. Amen. That's who we ought to get behind. Amen. Thank you, ladies, very much. I hate wearing coats on Wednesday nights. It just gets on my nerves. Think about this. Here's Paul when he stepped up to the plate. Not only did he step up to the plate, he probably wasn't super qualified to heal this guy. But watch very carefully. It also took faith to do what Paul did. That means this, it's for you and I to apply to our hearts to be willing to step out by faith and rely on God's power. Paul didn't know the outcome. We do because we have the preserved word of God. But Paul did not have the outcome. He just went for it. The Bible says this in Matthew 19 and verse number 26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. That means this, for us as a church tonight, we have got to blaze new trails and set God-sized goals and pursue God-given passions and go after a dream that is destined to fail without divine intervention. Listen, I said it last week, I'm going to say it this way. Churches, especially independent fundamental Baptist churches, have become stagnant trying to rely on everybody else or what's the politicians going to do or what are the stocks going to do and everybody's just kind of sitting back and relaxing. And friend, I'm here to tell you, we don't have time to sit back and relax. We don't have time to look at this board every month and try to get it over $1 million, over $2 million. I mean, really, in a bank account, how much is too much? And what are we supposed to do? Here's what we do. We step out by faith. Why? Because God is coming back. And sometimes it's going to take faith, just like all of those at Eagledale had the faith to step out and to move all the way down here on 25 acres. And they didn't know how God was going to do it. But I'm going to tell you, divine intervention, it was God Almighty that stepped in, and look what is happening. Look what's happening. But you know, in this passage of Scripture, none of this took place without Paul praying first. He laid hands on him. He prayed. Excuse me, he prayed. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's not me, friend. That's what the Bible says. That means this. Look, let's just get down to the nitty-gritty real fast. If and so many of us did, but if you would have seen Deborah Thorne back in February, you would have never thought that in June she'd be walking back in church. That should not happen. But somebody's been praying. There are miracles in this church right now that are walking through here. I've talked about Denny before that. One of the first meetings I ever had with him was, man, I got cancer, and this is what's taking place. And I just remember him just so vividly saying, I'm going to be okay because it's in God's hands. Excuse me, friend. That's faith, but it also takes prayer. And we don't gather here, excuse me, friend, we don't gather here for Pastor Dan to walk up there and read through and for Brother Justin to get up and to pray through just because, well, that's what we always done. Listen, friend, if that's what we've just always done and it's a snooze time and it's just kind of a time killer, I'm not super interested in it. But if it's you and I getting down and calling upon the God who created the universe, and friend, I'm just here to tell you, if we pray for Brother Jim Snyder who's here tonight, he needs a miracle so he doesn't have to go Monday into surgery. I'm here to tell you, if we really believe that God can do it, I truly mean it when I say, I think God really can. Amen. If he wants to. Paul didn't know what's going to happen. Lay hands on him. Paul, his father, sick of the flux, doesn't look good, prayed. And guess what? He healed him. You know, Pastor Foe, I think my generation is afraid to pray big prayers because we're afraid those prayers are going to fail, and we're afraid what everybody else is going to think about us. Now that's just plain, just putting it out there tonight, friend. Some can pray for a next door neighbor to get saved. Others can step out by faith and say, Lord, help us to win Indianapolis. I think it's right around 2.1 or 2.2 million people in this area. I'm just sure to tell you, we could try to reach a neighbor and we'll reach that neighbor. But I think at times we need to have big faith that God can win every neighbor that is around this church and all the houses, 800 or so that's been approved and might go in right across the street and all the way down 100th and 200. There's houses going in everywhere. Hey, I don't like it. I kind of wish it was just the way it used to be. Well, guess what, friend? It passed. The houses are coming in, and we can complain about traffic, or we can go door to door and try to win those people to Lord Jesus Christ. See what kind of vision it takes? I said, well, yeah, Pastor Shepherd. Woo! Wow, that's why we brought you in. No, friend. It's not a pastor thing. This is a God thing. This is a you and I together thing. This is you and I stepping out like Paul, realizing, hey, I might not be the best one qualified, but it takes the faith. But then also, let's just pray for it. Look at verse number 9. So when this was done, others also, which had, look at the word here, diseases in the island, came, oh wow, and were healed. Isn't that amazing? I mean, soon Paul was busy as people flocked with their sick. They're coming in. Nothing like this had ever happened on the island before. I never seen this before. No case was too hard. No one was turned away. No one had to come back a few days later complaining that the cure was merely imaginary or the original condition had returned. No one was told that they couldn't be healed unless they exercised more faith. The Bible just says, and were healed. Listen, no mass hysteria was generated. Paul was manifested and given the gift of healing as a gift that had been given to the early church to validate its message, and Paul simply healed the sick. Now listen very carefully. He was one of the last healers. This is one of the last testimonies or occasions we're given in the New Testament of this gift of healing being used. Now, I want everybody to tune in. We'll watch very carefully and then we'll move on. Remember that as Luke writes this book and is giving an account, Acts is a transitional book. That means this, healing like this does not take place anymore. You and I are not given powers that we lay hands on somebody. Well, wait a minute, Pastor, hold up right there. I've seen a lot of times, you know, these people on TV, and they got people that come in, they never walked before, and they lay their hand on them. Wow, and they're healed, and they fall back, and they get up, they dance around, and another one comes in, another one, look. I mean, I'm just telling you right now, we don't find that in the Bible. We've moved past it. Well, Pastor, are you saying those men are liars? I'm just saying they're either hypocrites or liars or fakes. But look, just call a spade spade. But we're past that in our day. That means this. If you're here tonight and you say, well, I've been given the gift of healing, I'd really like to talk to you after church tonight. How many like something healed in their body to say, would you raise your hand? Yeah, all of them. Well, some of you don't. Come on now. How many would like something healed on your body? Would you raise your hand this evening? There we go. That's more like, as I say, I listen to a bunch of you after church. I got this growth and I got this here. Pray for my back. And I've been taking all these medicines. I know we need healing in here this evening. If you have the gift of healing, there's a little thing called the coronavirus. I don't know if you've heard of it here lately, but it would have been really nice for us to be able to line up the sick and heal. There are all these healers today. Where'd they go, Pastor? I'll tell you where. They're fake. This is transitional. This doesn't happen. This is a different time. The gift that was given here was given to Paul. Why? Because the early church is still going through this gospel transformation. And this gift here was given to them. But I think it's important for us to note that God used Paul and his faith to touch this land. It's why Paul was there. Remember, Paul's on this journey. He told them not to go. They went. They went. They're on this island. A snake bites them. He's in the God, throw it out in the fire. I mean, he's going through this ridiculously hard time. But what I love about this passage of Scripture is that Paul didn't get there, sit back, relax, and wait for the next boat. Paul got busy in what God wanted him to do. He healed the father, and then more come, and he begins to heal. You say, Pastor, what does that have to do with us? Here's what it has to do with us. You are here for such a time as this. George, there's nobody in this room that is more important, Nate, than somebody else. We're all in this together. This is not, well, the pastoral staff, boy, I'm here to tell you. Oh, they were just, well, we got, Pastor Shepherd, boy, he's up here on a porch, and we got our assistant pastors and our youth pastor, and we got our deacons, and we got our Sunday school teachers, and the choir, and the welcome center, and this, and I guess I'm just a little lowly over here. Excuse me, friend. Matthew chapter 28 said, go ye into all the world and to teach the whole, to win the whole world for Christ. That was not given for the top. That was given for every one of us in this room this evening. You're not here in Indianapolis area just because, well, I guess God just grew up here. God has you here in 2021 on May 19th for such a time as this. What's that time? He's coming back and we got a big job to do. That's right. Boy, I'm telling you, Denny, I'm going to take those water bottles and I'm going to hand out 2-packs and I'm just going to outdo everyone. Well, praise the Lord. Great. But don't brag about it because we're all in this thing together. Well, I'm here to tell you what I've done for God, Sonny, is just really incredible. Nobody's ever done what I've done before. I'm sorry. Did you die on a cross? Our Savior did. And He said He came to seek and to save that which is lost. What's our mission? What's our goal? I want you to look at this passage of Scripture. I think it's verse number 10 here. We see here this. God gives power, but also God gives patience. Verse number 10 says this. Who also honored us with many honors? And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. You see, when you step out by faith many times in life, there is a reward. God helps us so that we can help others. God gave Paul this special gift of healing. But you know what I love about Paul? Paul did not keep this to himself. He reached out and he helped. The same is true in our life. God oftentimes gives us burdens or gives us monetary gain or gives us a ministry or gives us Bible or good family or good family tree. He gives us talents, and the talents ought not to be kept for us, and it's mine, and no, you don't get to have it. No, friend, I've said it over and over. I don't ever want to get to a point of Cross Point Baptist Church where we are running the same 300 for the next 10 years, and we're just all one big click. No, we want visitors in those back doors. We want people saved and baptized and discipled. We want to grow in the Word. Why? Not so that we can get fat on God's Word and just, it's for me. No, it's so that you and I can gain what we're getting tonight and so that we can go out and change this culture for Christ. But you see, not only do we see power, but also patience. Look at verse number 11. And after 3 months, we departed. I mean, check the wording out here. 3 months. We departed in a ship of Alexandria and wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence, fetched in a campus and came to Regium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew and came the next day to Politii. Watch, it's an amazing journey. Listen out very carefully. This amazing journey that Paul is on. But all of this is happening, if you begin to add up, this is after 2 years he has spent in prison. This is after he's had to face magistrates and judges and be on trial and finally get that trial moved. This is after they have waited for a ship. Then they get on a ship. Then they're 2 weeks at in a storm. Then they get to the island. Now we're talking about 3 months they're having to wait. I mean, all this is happening. And you almost have to just ask, Paul, do you ever get impatient? I mean, I look at that, and to be honest with you, I've said it before, we have to live in the most impatient culture ever. I mean, do we not? Terry, come on, help me out. We do. We live in the most impatient, but we get upset if Dunkin' Donuts does not have our coffee right away, or, you know, if Chick-fil-A took 46 seconds instead of 45 seconds to get us our meal, and we are upset at, you know, if our internet is slow. You ever get on your phone and you click it? What do we want it to do? Look, you're with me. I'm not the only one of the flesh here tonight. You know, when you push that button, you want it to come up immediately. Nobody wants to wait anymore. But isn't it amazing? Paul's 2 years, 2 weeks, 3 months. Another couple days here, another couple days here. See, there are times in our life where God is going to teach us that we have to have patience. We must learn to wait, to listen for His voice. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. God always has a purpose for waiting. What was God's purpose in waiting for Paul that we see even in our life is there's always someone that we need to meet. You ever been waiting to get on an airline? You ever been waiting at a doctor's appointment? Doctor's appointments are really tough right now because you're in mask and it's hard to talk to people. But let me just put it this way. In a time that you feel like you're getting impatient, look around because God might have a divine appointment sitting right there. And in the moment of flesh of hurry up and why can't we go and move on? I'm going to lose my temper. You're getting a bad review on Yelp. And I'm just here to tell you, Google, I'm going to tear you up. Facebook's going to know I had to wait. Instead of looking at it of the fleshly, look at it that maybe there is a single mom around us that needs encouragement. Maybe there's a lost teenager that is sitting there. Maybe there's somebody that's sitting there on the brink of wanting to just call it quits. Maybe there's somebody that just has been looking for a church to gain some healing. Friend, what I'm saying tonight is this. When you and I are in this mode of waiting, understand that somebody might need help. That's what Paul is learning. There's also something maybe that in our life that he wants to increase our stamina. It's no doubt that God increased Paul's faith as he began to wait. You see, God is going to give us gifts in these periods of turbulence, these gifts of going through this journey is power and patience. But look at verse number 14. We also see that God gives people. he gives people. Verse number 14. Were we found brethren, we're desired to tarry with them 7 more days. So we went toward Rome. It's amazing the word brethren is used here. You see, we have brethren in this room tonight, our fellow Christians. They're a gift from God. Church is a place filled with people who are an encouragement to each other. You see, the way that we view other Christians tell us a lot about our own spiritual condition. Excuse me, friend, don't tune out. Let me say this again. The way that we view other Christians tells us a lot about our own spiritual condition. Do we view their flaws and condemn them? Or do we exhort them like Jesus? For a long time, long, long time, we've gotten back into this Pharisaical phase of comparing gifts or comparing what we've done, what we've accomplished to somebody else. And if we're not careful, and I've talked about it on Sunday night several months ago, we get into this mindset where we really are kicking somebody while they're down instead of lifting or reaching out a hand to help them. Can I remind you tonight, church, restoration is a biblical term. It's biblical. And I said it before, I'm going to say it again. Not every kid in this church is going to turn out to be just this missionary that's heading to the mission field. We're going to have some teenagers that are going to go through some rough times. And our teenagers aren't here tonight, so I'm just going to be super frank with you as adults this evening. But I'm raising 5 kids. I'm in the mix of it. I do a lot of reading. I'm going to be preaching on the family here coming up very soon. And as I do all this research and compile and begin to pray about it, fast about these messages, I'm just here to tell you, friend, the more I'm convinced than ever in my life, care, that Satan wants and desires our kids. He's after them. There will be kids in good, independent. Now, Pastor, I know this is far past what you used to preach. It's a different day. Is it amazing that we're going to be talking about kids that grow up in independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist churches that will get to an age of 18 or 19 and decide that they're transgender? They're going to decide. And they're going to tell and look at their mom and dad in the face, who paid for them to go to the wilds, who paid for them to go to summer camps, who paid for them to go to activities, who invested in their life, who spent thousands putting them in a Christian school. They will look at their mom and dad and say, I'm not a heterosexual, I'm gay or I'm lesbian. Excuse me, friend, please don't be shocked by what I'm telling you tonight. Mark my words, it's going to happen. And I'm here to tell you, friend, at that time is not a time for us to gossip and for us to fight and for us to talk about somebody behind their back. That is a time to reach out to those parents and to hug them and to love them and to take that teenager and look at them in the eyes and not condemn them and how shame on you. I can't believe you. Look, friend, if they're saved, the conviction of God is going to be upon their heart. And what I've learned in my life is conviction from God is so much more than you and I and our sinuations or bad looks. As somebody who's going through a sin problem in their life, it is a time to look at them and say, I don't agree with your sin, but I'm going to tell you, we love you and we're going to be praying for you. And if you ever need somebody to talk to, my phone is always available. That's what we're going to have. You know what they found, Coach Snyder, when they got there? Brethren. You know what they saw when people walk in that back door? You know what they're looking for? Somebody that can help them. We don't live in a day and age. It's amazing. I hate to say this, but when I preach on the family, if I'm preaching about a husband and a wife who have always been married with kids, I'm talking to less than half of what the congregation is around the globe today. We live in a different culture. Oh, it's so depressing. It's so down. No, it's not at all. The darker the night, the brighter the light. Let's do it. Well, I knew it. Indiana, did you see they voted on? Yeah, who cares? Let's move forward with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, yep, that family, they haven't been here in 2 weeks. Let's reach out. Let's call them. Let's email them. Let's get them back. It's been a month. Okay, let's tell them we love them. But I'm just here to tell you, we can't spend the rest of our life just chasing, chasing, chasing when there's 2 million plus people in this area and some of them don't even know who Jesus Christ is. His brethren. I want you to see this. Not only did God give them, lastly gave them persistence. He gave them persistence. Look at this last verse here. This is all I want to concentrate on. I'll be done. Verse number 15 this evening. Look, verse number 15, it says this. And from thence the brethren heard of us. They came to meet us at Appii Forum and the three taverns. When Paul saw, listen very carefully, he thanked God and took courage. We've already said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We ought to be thanking God, but I love these last three words. Look at it with me. Maybe highlight it. Think about this. And took courage. Parent, excuse me, what I've said tonight ought not to scare you. Excuse me, grandparent, great-grandparent, it's not scary this evening. Well, it sounds scary. Yeah, I know, and I could talk a whole lot more about what Disney is doing, and I could talk about what Hollywood's doing, and I could talk about what our public schools are doing, and I could talk about what the state of Indiana is doing, I could talk about California, I could talk about Biden, I could talk about President Biden, I could talk about Kamala Harris, I could talk about, look, I can absolutely depress us this evening, and we could get to this place, oh, what do we do? I tell you what we do. Take courage that God is still sitting on the throne. He's got the world in his hands. He is not shocked by Hamas attacking Israel. We are going to continue to pray and we're going to continue to support and we're going to continue to win and we're going to continue to give to these girls who are trying to get to a mission field and do something great for God. Excuse me, friend, it's not over. Our battle may have just begun, but be of good courage. Look, he has overcome the world. Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Then take courage in it. Casting all your care upon me, for I care for you. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Then take courage in it. Take courage. You ever look at your life and think, man, I'm shipwrecked and I feel like I've gone through this. My car never works. I just lost my job. This, my teenager doing this. You ever gone through a period of life? You're like, you know what, Paul? Me and you actually have a lot in common on this turbulent journey. You know, when you get to the end, here's Paul and he just says, you know what? We're going to give some thanks and we're going to take courage. And Cross Point Baptist Church, I want to tell you this tonight. Take courage. Let's be courageous. Now, I'm not getting on anybody. I do my fair share, but I'm just telling you. I'm out of time, but teenagers aren't back there yet, so just hold on. Listen, I think we have got to get off of CBS and Fox News and CNN and start taking courage in the Bible. Amen. I just really do. That's strong. I'm not preaching against TV. I'm not preaching against the news. I'm not, Pastor said, he's so legalistic. He wants us to cut the cord to our TV. I never said that. I just said this. I think at times we're kind of letting ever that world affect us more than we're allowing the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, at that Bible to affect us. I was listening to the radio today. Man, I had to turn it off. I'm so sick of, I'm not even going to bring it up. Look, I'll just tell you this. I'm just sick of it. I got to take courage. God has our family, the Shepherd family here, for such a time as this. Well, what's that time? To join arm in arm with you, to take courage that Jesus Christ is the very Son of God, that he came, he died, he was buried 3 days later, he rose from the dead, he lives today, friend, and we've got to take courage that he's working in our hearts and in our lives. Join arm in arm, and let's do something great for God. Who's with me? Say amen tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.